Number 4, the second Kings. Now they tried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, "Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen." And Elisha said unto her, "What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house?" And she said, "Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil." Then he said, "Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even the empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and thou and shall pour out unto all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full." So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, "Bring me yet a vessel." And he said unto her, "There is not a vessel more." And the oil stayed. And she came and told the man of God. And he said, "Go, sell all, and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest." I want to preach tonight on what have you got in the house. That's what the rest of your journey is going to depend on. Not what you've got in the bank, but what you've got in your house. Your eternal destiny will not depend on how many times you've read the Bible through, nor how many Sunday school pens are on your chest. But it depends on what you've got in the house. Some of you, after all these years of religion, are still empty in the house. The enemy, the foreign nations in the preceding chapter, had just sacrificed one of their boys on the wall to appease their gods and satisfy the hierarchy. But over in God's country, they are still taking their young'uns to the man of God. The answer for America is not abortion, but it's getting your children to God's house under the sound of God's Word and getting them born again. That's the hope of America. God help a nation who murders babies in the womb. God help a nation that don't know to take their children to the house of God. Here's a woman that had trouble in her heart and in her soul. Her husband has died. He is a servant of God. I want to tell you, one of the hardest things to understand is when you're doing your best to serve the Lord and trouble hits your house. You say, "Preacher, I'm on the mountain all the time. I never have any down days. Nothing bothers me." You old liar, you. Don't care how high you are in the workings of God, you have days when you can't figure out the whys of God doing what He's doing. Make any difference how well you are versed in this book and how great your head is from studying the things of God? There'll be times when you don't understand what God's doing to you. God told me a while back, He said, "I've never done anything to you." I look back down through the years at the heartaches and the sorrows, and God said, "Everything I've done has been for you. It just looked like I was doing it to you, but I was doing it all for you." I don't know why this woman's husband had to die. And she has left, evidently, in great debt. And the bondman, the devil, came to take them children to be bondsmen. Now I want to tell you tonight, Mom and Daddy, Grandma and Grandpa, the devil's determined to have your young'uns. He'll do anything in this world to get them. To pull a fake down at the house of God to get somebody to preach easy believism. That all you got to do is just believe and get them to have some kind of little old tearful experience and never get born again and join the church and go to hell. I thought about a while ago about I was in across Lake Pontchartrain from New Orleans in a revival meeting. And we've gone along about, I guess, about to Thursday night. And the preacher said, there's a lady who wants to talk to us after the service. And he said, preacher, she's educated and she's got money. And he said, she's needing to talk and she's weeping. That precious lady came, you could tell that she had culture. And she said, preacher, I belonged to the church for years and worked in the church, but if what you're preaching's right, and if what I'm feeling under the preaching is right, I've never been saved. And she said, I want the real thing. And I said, sister, I just ditched whatever I had. You say, well, what if she'd been saved? Wouldn't have hurt her a bit. Just go back down, go to digging again, and come out. If she'd been saved, she'd be more secure than she'd ever been. I said, ditch it, and the next time you feel like coming to an altar, come and ask God to save you. The next night, I'd about forgot about that lady and gave the invitation. I saw her run down to an altar rail over here on this side on the far end and begin to pray. The preacher went over there to help her and come back and said, I can't stay over there. She's confessing every low-down thing she ever done. I said, stay over here then. That's what repentance is all about. Getting her fixed up with God. God said you must repent. You must repent. I don't care what they said down yonder at the Sword headquarters. Sinners have got to repent or die and go to hell. She began to pray and pray and pray. I guess 15 or 20 minutes praying to the top of her lungs, a distinguished, cultured lady. Finally, the preacher got back over there and got to praying around her again. There's others in the altar getting saved. And after a little while, she stood and screamed. And everything fell quiet. And she said, preacher, I've traded head knowledge for heart knowledge. And she said, I'm saved and I know I'm saved. I want to tell you tonight, friend, if you ain't got the real thing, you're going to go to hell. You can buy, you can belong to all the Baptist churches and all the lodges and have a special entrance to every football game and basketball game that's played. But if you've not been born again, you're hellbound. Mama's vows in here tonight. My youngins wasn't coming to the house of God. I'd make them come. You say, preacher, I don't believe it's right to make your kids come to the house of God. Well, you've got a lot to learn. That's the only reason you're here. Somebody puts the pressure on you to come and get in the house of God. Not only was I made, I wasn't really made go. My daddy never did have to say, now, son, you're going to go now. And that's all there is to it. We just knew. It'd never do any good to say we ain't a-going. That would have been a foolish thing. We knew we was going to, and we knew what church we was a-going to. Amen. Went to the house of God. Parents, you bring your kids in, you ought to set them down. Make them be obedient and listen to God's man. Amen. She said, I got trouble. She took her problem to God's man. It's an amazement how much money our church members spend on the psychiatrist. I read somewhere just the other day, and I told somebody the other night, among professional groups, psychiatrists have the highest suicide rate. Among professional groups, psychiatrists have the highest suicide rate. Isn't that somebody to straighten out our problem? You ought to go to old man of God and say, what ought I to do? It might get pretty blunt. I went to the church where I am. And they said, "Preacher, now there's a lady lives up the road here, and she hardly ever comes to church, but," he said, "she's got problems in her mind." And he said, about once every two or three or four months, she'll have one of them fits, and she'll either stay at your house or call you at 2 o'clock in the morning to come to her. She's a fixing to commit suicide." And he said, "We can't get her satisfied." And I've been there a little while, and I came to church one night, and she got out of the car and headed toward me. First time I ever saw her, but I knew the lady that was with her. And she said, "Milby!" Now, if you want to start out wrong with me, that's the way to start out. I'm preacher. I'm Brother Milby or Mr. Milby, whatever, but Milby's not what I am. She said, "Milby, I got trouble," and said, "I can't shake it," and said, "Something's got to give." And I said, "Ma'am, there's an altar down at the front of the church there." And I said, "There's one or two things going to fix it for you. Get in there and get on an altar and get right with God, or go home and blow your brains out." Some reason or other, that lady never did bother me no more. You say, "Preacher, what are you saying?" There ain't but one solution, and that's God Almighty. He said, "I'm going to check with a man of God." Went down to the house of God. Not a very long counseling session here. She said, "Do you know of thy servant? My husband's dead, and that is the servant of God." And said, "The bondman's come to take my two sons." And he said, "What in the world can I do for you?" He said, "What do you got in the house?" And she said, "I don't have anything in the house." And it looked like just almost as an afterthought. She said, "There is that little old pot hole. It looks like that Baptist people, that's one of the least thoughts they've got, is what God did for them. Boy, we're in business. We talk about making money. I've never heard as much talk in Kentucky and everywhere I go. In Alabama, they're talking about point spreads and who's going to carry the ball tomorrow. And if the quarterback's arm is sore. And in Kentucky, it's the Wildcats. And why are they going to get our coach to go to the pros or not? God help us. Boys, there's something greater than that. Souls are going to hell." Now you're getting quiet on me now. But you know I'm right, don't you? Oh, you know I'm right. She said, "What you got in the house?" She said, "Well, I know." And then she said, "Say you a pot of oil." I thought a lot about where it was that would make her think of it last. Maybe she hadn't seen it in a few days. Had it hid under the TV set or under the catalog. It's not very important. I go into homes to visit, and most of the time I can't talk for the TV being too loud. Makes me want to leave if they don't want to talk to me. Oh, I thank God for the old folk. That being born again is more important to them. It looks like with the young folks, it's just a trivial thing. They belong to church, and when the day's right, if they feel good, they'll go down to the house of God. We use the Lord as a spare tire. How many of you here tonight, many of you drivers, how many of y'all know whether your spare tire's up or not? I see two fellas and one lady. That's the way we do God. We just put Him in the trunk, you know, and hope we don't have no trouble. But if we do, then we'll go and get Him out of the trunk and use Him. You might ought to check up on Him. He might have went on down the road. What do you got in the house? Boy, I got an experience with God. It's more precious to me than silver and gold. Boy, being born again is the best thing that ever happened to me. I've heard folks talk and say, being saved is one of the best. No, not me. It's the thing in my life. That's when I really started to live. I didn't have no peace. Didn't have no good things in my heart until God saved me. But that blessed morning, I began to live. Saved, 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 saved. Praise His holy name. That little old pottle, precious to me. The old man of God said, we're going to work with that little pot of oil. Now, if God does anything for you, it'll be through your being saved. I've never seen, sweeping across America, such a light thing of salvation. Talk to young people, you know, and God's He's the God of everybody, and God loves everybody, and that's a strange thing. The Bible don't teach that. The Bible says He's angry with sinners every day. This stuff on the bumper sticker of these cars, they don't know anything about God Almighty. God's angry with sinners. God's angry with sin. It's the filth of this world. God help us. That little old pot of oil, that's all I got. This precious, I get to thinking about folks are changing this blessed Bible. Yeah, hey, y'all listen to me tonight. I don't know how strong you stand on this, won't make no difference. But this old authorized version Bible is it. And whether you're educated or whether you're uneducated, it's it. And you oughtn't to read anything else, nor allow anything else to be read. Amen. Y'all know where this come from originally? I'm talking about, I know it come from God. It's the only translation that came out of Antioch. And all were the first called Christian. And the rest of them come out of Alexandria, Egypt. Every one of them came out of Alexandria, Egypt, except this one here, and it came out of Antioch. You see, I don't know how to read all them manuscripts, but that there does a whole lot for me. And while I'm on that, while God's touching me in this line tonight, it looks like if God could have preserved His Word, He would have. It looks like that He wasn't just lost all in manuscripts and nobody knows anymore what it really did say in the original. I want to tell you something. I've got it right here. I believe God preserved, holy preserved His precious Word. It looks like if He could have preserved it, and He did, it looks like He'd have given it to the church. It's a funny thing to me that He's going to judge the world out of this thing and then lost it and can't find it, and the church don't know really what it's saying.
Amen. You're preaching right.
But He did. And so you say, all right, preacher, let's suppose He did give it to the church. Tell me which one it is. Well, I'm glad you asked. I'm a fixing to. If I was going to buy a dog, I'd say, what's he done? If I was going to bet on a horse, I'd look at his record. There's never been a revival. I'm not talking about a protracted meeting. There's never been a revival when this book wasn't preached.
Amen.
The authorized version of the Bible is what God gave us. It's what your granddaddy and great-great-granddaddy used. It's the only thing that'll bring revival. It's not the track record. You can mark her down in your book. At Mount Moriah Baptist Church in Lairo County, about 5 miles from where I live, Brother Terry, my great-great-great-granddaddy gave the ground. There's a use in that old book right there. My great-great-granddaddy went to church there. He used this right here. My great-granddaddy went there. My granddaddy went there. Isn't this amazing? And they used this old authorized book. And my mama went there. Ain't that something? And they used this book. And old Brother Hanley went there. And old Brother Hanley's daughter belongs there. And Brother Hanley's daughter's daughter goes there. I think they're kind of going squirrely on me, but the last I heard, they're still using this book.
Amen. Yeah. Come on.
Amen.
That's one of them things that'll do when I'm a day. Thank God the little pot of oil. You can read what you want to and make it sound like a newspaper. But here's the book that God has blessed. I believe I'll stay with
it. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Oh yeah, I know it's right. I know it's right. It's a funny thing, none of them old timers never did. And hey, I'm not going to argue nobody about this. This book right here will take care of itself.
Yes, sir.
When all the rest of them fell by the wayside, it'll still be here. All of us falling. I've seen them just come and go and come and go. And come. By the way, if you all got a copy of Good News for Modern Man, whatever happened that day? One or two. I see one lady here said maybe she's got a copy. Used to, everybody had a copy. Now nobody has got one. Nobody ought to have one. Hey, man. Might be all right for you to hang up somewhere and look to see how crazy it is. What I'm saying is they're all gone. They're fading.
That's right.
But praise God, this old 1611, you can't beat it. Amen.
Amen.
The power of all, he said, let's use that. What you've got in your heart. This is it right here. That's what I got in my heart. An old time salvation that God gave me, and you and the devil and all the Baptist hierarchy can't do a thing with it. Said, I want you to go home and borrow some vessels and bring them in. And said, I want you to shut the door on you and your family. Now, if you're going to get anything done for God, somewhere you're going to have to get your own household straight before you can recognize what God's really got for you. So it'd be good for you to go home tonight. Get your family around you and say, let's get some things straight. Number one, we're going to God's house. Not this Sunday, but Sunday morning and Wednesday night. We're going to God's house. You say, well, I got a boy 18 years old. What am I going to do about him? As long as he eats your food and sleeps in your bed, I'd say you put him where you want to. That's right, ain't I? I'm just kind of using what my daddy taught me. If he eats your food and sleeps in your bed, you ought to be able to tell him what to do. And if he won't do it, you ought to break his plate. Amen. You say, preacher, rough. That's right. I guess I probably preached rougher here this week than I have for a long time. I don't really know why, but I'm following the leadership of God. But there's some things that need to be established. And your daddy and granddaddy, you didn't have to preach that to them. They just done it naturally. You didn't have to tell them they ought to get over back to the doctor. And the doctor say, now, have you ever used a limb on this boy? One of my cousins' mama had a mantle, a big old hickory limb laid up, and they had a sign over it said, I need thee every hour.
Yeah.
Amen. Big old bunch of boys. So what do you got in the house? Now, if all you've got is some little old Sunday school, vacation, Bible school experience, you ain't got enough to take you through. Thank God. The Word of God. Boys, somebody was talking a while ago. God's man preached to me, and I got under conviction. Boys, I got in trouble. I belong to a church that is probably three-fourths modern, and a revival meeting came on. And they decided they wanted Brother Jones to preach the meeting. There's two Brother Joneses. There's one liberal and one old-timer. They aimed to get the liberal, and they got the phone numbers mixed up, and they called the old-timer. But here's the story. God knew that there's a boy down there barefooted that he wanted to preach in Fort Payne, Alabama in 1996, and he is lost and going to hell, and he had to have the old-time gospel preached to him, and he switched the numbers on him. They got him to come. It's a shame to tell him. He preached to my heart, and I got under conviction. 2 years under conviction. Sometimes I could sleep, sometimes I couldn't. But the blessed morning I prayed out from under that. Hallelujah. I didn't say I got sung out from under it. I didn't get talked or read out from under it. But I prayed one morning down yonder on the hillside, and the holy power of God came down, deliverance came. I've never been the same since. Thank God. What do you got in the house? My wife and I got married and moved in we lived with my sister for a while. Moved out in a little old three-room shack. Had concrete floors, and the concrete had sunk down, was below ground level. Water come in, had water bugs all in that side of the house. We didn't know where to live. We was tickled to death. Got in there that night, laid that little old babe up in that bed. I said, before we go to bed, you read, and I'll pray, and we'll get her started right. Hallelujah. She read, and we got to hollering, to carrying on, and got up in the bed with the baby, got to carrying on. Hallelujah. Thank God, if you got it in the house, God will bless you. I've told this so many times about, I got a lady at my church named Judy. She's in the church. She's not coming in. But she's coming regularly. And she said, came one morning to cry and said, "Preacher, I can't get Harry to come to church." She said, "I've tried everything and I'm about to give up." And said, "I want to know what to do." And I said, "Well, I'll ask you something." He comes in at 9 after a hard day's work. I said, "You go to the door and put your arms around him, tell him you love him, and supper's ready." And I said, "You get your young'uns and get around the table and say, 'Let's pray.'" I mean, say, "God, thank you for the beans and taters." And I said, "You get to thanking God and get carried away if you got something to eat and a roof over your head, and you get to crying and you get tears in the beans and get to glorifying." I said, "What does he do?" And she said, "We just never have done that." And I said, "Well, let me ask you this. You go to bed at night, surely you pray. Get down to your bed, all of you, and pray and thank God the young ones are well. Thank God for a good bed to sleep in." And I said, "You get wild and get up and get to beating the walls and glorifying God, what to do?" She said, "We didn't have done that." And I said, "You'd be surprised what had happened to him if you was to really get way out in God, let him know how serious you were." 3 or 4 Sundays she came in, maybe longer than that, 2 months, big old man walking along behind him, sat down in about the 3rd seat from the back. She comes straight, I was standing here, a lot of times I'll just stand, folks coming in and sitting down. She comes straight, that red hair and them freckles and them green eyes and them tears are glistening, coming down. She said, "Yes, what, preacher? I wanted you to tell me." She said, "I had one of them God fits last night." She said, "He told me if I'd hush that and straighten up, he'd come church me this morning." Amen. What do you got in the house? She went home, them boys got out and gathered down all of them vessels. They're bringing them out and set the floor full of them. Said, "Don't bar just a few." The old man of God said, "Get them all out here." Said, "Get out that little old pot of oil. What you got?" I wonder how much salvation y'all got. Got that little old pot of oil out. Said, "I don't know about this, man. They want me to hoop and holler and clap my hands down to church, and they just ain't that much in me. I just barely got saved, you know, and sometimes I just kind of say, 'Hallelujah,' and that's about all I got in here." But she said, "We're in bad shape, and they're fixing to take my boy." Said, "To hand me a little old half a gallon spurt bucket. Pour it up." Doesn't seem like to me. Pour it out and pour that book back. Why, as much in there as there was, and I stopped. You know, if you was to wave your hands and say, "Thank God for my pastor and my preacher. Hallelujah. And I got a man of God. And I ain't afraid of the convention and the other preachers in the country that'll just stand up against sin and say, hallelujah." You might find out to shake yourself, you still got something else in you. Said, "Hand me that 2.5 gallon milk bucket right there. We'll find out about this thing." Said, "Glory, hallelujah." Said, "You know, I feel like singing in the choir something." Said, "I tell you what I'm going to do. You know, I come home every Sunday mad because they wouldn't let my daughter sing a solo, and I told that song leader specifically I wanted her to sing, and he said the preacher already had somebody sing, and I got mad. Said, 'You know, I might go back and sing the choir.'" Said, "You know, it could be the man of God knows more about running the church than I do."
Amen. That's right.
It could be that the shepherd that God put in the church, this could be that he knows more than I do about how the church ought to go. Said, look at that. Feel that 2.5 Yeah. Yeah, buddy. Said, hey, boy. Hand me that number 3 washing test. We're going to find out how much God can supply. You see, she didn't know what that little pot of oil was hooked on to. I stopped out here the other night in one of these hallways before I went home. It was hot. And I said, I'll just drink this thing dry. I don't know whether it's hooked on the little river up yonder in the canyon or what, but there wasn't no drinking it dry. And I'm going to tell you what you got in your heart if you really got born again. Did you know you can sing in the choir and sing in the quartet, and you can shout on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and it looks like that the more you do, the more he'll fill you up. Hey, did you know that if you just sang 3 drops, that's all that's in there? Did you know if you just say hallelujah, that's all that's in there? But you ought to try some Sunday morning saying glory. Praise His name. Thank you, Jesus. Have one of them old-time Holy Ghost fits like your granny had. You'll find out God will refill as fast as you can pour that. I remember I'd shouted down there on the hillside, but I said, now that's shouting. That's for between me and God. Here I am backward. I wouldn't, and when my brothers brought their wives home, I wouldn't eat just paint. I'd go to the woods and stay lay left. Sleep in the woods. Backward. God saved me, and I shouted on the hillside, but I said, that's not for public now. But we got down there, we had cottage prayer meetings. Y'all remember, we used to go to home, have prayer meetings. Still ought to do it under the direction of the church and the pastor. We still ought to have them cottage prayer meetings. And I was standing back in the doorway, you know, a good observer. And them observers are always critics. They're watching what everybody else does, and they know how everything ought to be done, but they don't aim to get involved themselves. They know when testimonies are too many and when the service has lasted too long. But if they're into it, it's never long enough. If their little groups are singing, you can say, I could have listened to them all night. And I said, well, but boy, it got on out there in that big living room. And there's a singing, I'll not be a stranger when I get to that city. I'm acquainted with folks over there. And them saints, and I heard somebody shout real keen close to me, and I looked around his knee. I realized there's more in me than what I thought there was. Boy, ain't we living in a dry time. Hadn't we got little old programs and plays and Santa Clauses and little old slabs and moving picture shows and no God? Whatever happened to the shout at the church house when God's man would preach and the saints would say, hallelujah. Now we got folks, you know, that'll pick at the preacher just all the time and then call on Sunday afternoon around over the community and say, what do you think? I'll tell you what, I can tell you how you can get rid of all that, ma'am. When they call you on Sunday afternoon, you know who they are. You always know who they are. It's the same bunch that called you and gets critical about the church. When they pick up the phone, you ought to say, hallelujah, I want to thank God for my preacher.
Amen.
I said, boy, didn't he hit it this morning? Praise the name of my God. Click up. Amen. Said, bring that tub down here. Pour that tub up full. Said, glory, hallelujah. Said, I believe God's got something to do with this. Thank you, Lord. I'm glad, church, glad, ministers, of what I've felt this week. I told my wife, I said, thank God, there's potential here. I said, there's some saints here that knows what it means to be born again. Thank God for the choir. Thank God folks have got culture in God, know what they're doing. And I'm going to tell you, church, you can just kind of dabble around. And God's opened some things up to you in the last few weeks and months that reminds you of the old days. You better go with it. Amen. for the salvation of your kind. Say amen, church.
Amen.
Oh, yes, right. Build up all them vessels. You see, all this modern day stuff that's come on in the last years is going to melt and run down the side ditches. Oh, every bit of that. I've been a preaching now for a long time. I've seen things come and go and come and go and come and go. Bring up some new stuff, you know. Bring up some new stuff, man. It's all washed down the drain. But there's something that never has changed. It's that old time Holy Ghost Spirit. That old time Holy Ghost preaching. It's real, it's real, it's real. What made Mama shout? What made Granny shout? It's still real tonight. I thought this afternoon, I can't wait to get back to Union Chapel. I was in Hammond, Indiana, and the preacher said, let's go over and talk to Dr. Hiles. If you all know him, you're familiar with Jack Hiles. How many of you know who I'm talking about here tonight? We went in the church, and they said, now we'll have to get you a guide to take you through the church. And we waited, and there's a group come back, and we got a guide. You don't have to do that in your chapel. I just open front doors, and there it is.
Yeah, I see it.
But we went by a room that's probably, I guess, half as large as this building, full of baby beds. They're always doing something. And I said, what's all the baby beds? That's stacked. And I said, what's all the baby beds? I said, that's our nursery. And I said, how many kids do you have in the nursery Sunday morning? Took that little book out and fixed it and said, 750 babies in the nursery Sunday morning. We went out in that auditorium and just tiers and tiers of seats of land. And I said, how many did you have in church Sunday morning, Sunday school here? I said, we had 25,000 Sunday morning, Sunday. I said, can I get up here behind the stand and stand up here behind the pulpit? He said, yeah, go ahead. I got a friend. Pastor said, what are you crying about, preacher? I said, thank God for Union Chapel. Had a little old church down there on the side of the road. See, Mr. House can't handle that. I said, it's too much for him. Union Chapel will be too much for him. I can't handle this up here. But he can't handle that down there either. See, I've got my place and I'm proud of it. What's in my house is right for me. What's in your house is right for you.
Amen.
God gave it to you. You ought to cherish it with all your heart. I wonder what's going on at your house tomorrow. Getting ready for Sunday morning. I don't know how serious y'all are about football. I think pretty serious. But boy, you ought to spend some time out somewhere tomorrow saying, Lord, help my preacher tomorrow. God, I want you to get in the choir singing and do business in the choir Sunday morning. Say, Lord, help me. I'm going to tell you, if I belonged to this church, I'd go to the choir director and I'd say, can I sing in the choir? Could it be possible that I'd sing in the choir? And the old choir director said, preacher, we love you and we like singing in the choir, but you can't sing. You just ain't got it, son. I said, can I stand up in the home?
Yeah.
I promise you I'll never get in the book and try to get, I'll never get beside of nobody and mess them up. Just let me stand up in the home. Y'all just get to do what God has you to.